Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions in the law. My name is Matthew Kurbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. On this show, I interview lawyers ditching the billable hour and experts who can help attorneys move beyond billing time. Thanks to my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, links to both in the show notes, more on them later, and use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED when signing up. You get 10% off, and it supports the show. The best way to support the show is to share it with someone you know. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. Thrilled to have back with me for a second time, rare second appearances here on Law Subscribed, one of the sponsors that you know and love, Dorna Moyney of Gavel. Welcome back to Law Subscribed.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
So, and just in the interest of journalistic integrity, this is not a sponsored episode. Gavel is doing incredible things, and I wanted to make sure to have you back on the pod so that we could talk about what you're doing and what Gavel's been up to. Episode 24 was the last time you were on the show, and so at the time of recording, this is going to be in the pipeline around, published around the 70s, maybe. And so, so much has happened. Like, it's been over a year. So I'm so excited to have you back. But just in case my listeners haven't listened to that episode, Dorna, just give a little bit of background on yourself and Gavel.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me again. I love your podcast, as you know, even before I was ever on it. So a little background on myself. I am a former attorney. I'm now the CEO and founder of Gavel, which is an automation platform for lawyers. The way that I got started into this field was that I never planned on going into legal tech. I actually wanted to build a very specific tool for some of my pro bono clients when I was practicing. And that was in the area of domestic violence law. So I wanted to build something sort of like TurboTax or like LegalZoom, but for domestic violence survivors to navigate through different stages of their case, generate documents, be able to potentially connect to legal aid organizations or attorneys at any point in the phase of the case which was necessary. And I did not know how to code. So I got together with a friend of mine who was an engineer, and I said, will you help me build this? We built exactly that. We built a platform for domestic violence survivors that was sort of like the TurboTax for domestic violence law. And we launched it as a company called HelpSelf Legal. We got a really great amount of traction from consumers, and we started expanding into some other areas through other attorneys who were asking us for help. But then what we realized was there were so many other attorneys in other areas of law, in other jurisdictions, who were reaching out to us, wanting our help to build these other tools, that the best way for us to make a bigger impact and allow these legal technology products to be launched was for us to build what is now Gavel. And so fast forward to now, we built Gavel. Gavel is a platform, a software automation platform that allows you as the legal expert to come in and create questions, connect them to documents, connect them to billing, and really put a fully white labeled product in front of your customers for them to use. And then you can obviously, as relevant to your listeners, you can set them up under subscription payments. You can set them up under flat fee payments. There are lots of options as well there.
Yeah. And I encourage all my listeners, I'll link in the show notes to the previous episode where Dorna and I did a deep dive on all of that. But one more thing I want to highlight, just because I have so many more listeners than I did back then, is, when you started the company that became Gavel, you were billing time at a big law firm, and now you were doing the pro bono stuff. And it was like, how could I spend less time on this and get good results for the pro bono clients? Because I need to also go bill my time that I need to bill, right? And so you looked at efficiencies and you looked at the technology that was out there. And that's why, like, still billable hour lawyers will look at automation in like billable work and be like, oh no, I don't necessarily know if I should be doing that. And you could automate so many non-billable tasks, right? So like for the billable lawyers, the technology is still there for you. But for us who listen to the pod, like, it's a no-brainer to be automating and streamlining all these things to productize legal services. And so just like that part of the origin, I wanted to make sure I highlighted for all the new listeners that I've had. So let's get into like what's new. Because when you came on the show, like, ChatGPT had only been on the scene for like a few months. Like, Gen AI was still so new. And even though it's only been like a year since we last had you on the podcast, like, so it's been like a decade of advance of exponential growth, in like the AI space. So what has Gavel been looking at in AI, and what decisions were you making when it first hit the scene compared to now how you're using it in the tool?
Yeah, absolutely. So much has changed for us, for our product, for everything that we're building, not just because of the nature of Gen AI, but just because of our growth and the growth of our engineering team and being able to focus on a lot of these really tough problems. And the way, so we do have, you know, we've been sort of exploring AI technology for a while, even before all of the hype. But the way that we have incorporated into our platform is through a feature that we have called Gabble Blueprint. And what Gabble Blueprint does is, as the name sort of suggests, it gives you the blueprint for a workflow that you can then put in front of your customers. So what happens is the lawyer will come in and load in all of their documents that are their perfect work product and would be potentially their templates. And then what Gabble Blueprint does is it scans and recognizes what's going on in those documents and suggests an almost complete workflow for you that you can then modify, that gives you questions that you want to ask for data that you need to gather from the client, that connects it to the different fields in the document, and then allows you to launch it. So why that's really important to us is that Gabble Blueprint is really the AI that you can both understand and that you can control. So understand because you know exactly what information that you put into it. You know that the quality is there. And control because you have control over accepting or rejecting all of the different rules that Gabble Blueprint puts in there for you. So you know exactly what's going to come out of it. And so that's something that we have been working on for a little while. We've been lucky to get to partner with OpenAI on getting early access to each of the new iterations of their models that have come out. And we've also done a lot of fine tuning on our end through the use of we have a bunch of legal experts who have actually sat down and fine tuned the program to ensure that we have maximum accuracy. And we now have about 300% more accuracy than some of the base AI models that are out there in the legal field. So we're really excited about that. And it's something that we're really continuing to work on and invest in 2024.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I would be engaged in journalistic malpractice if I didn't ask, well, okay, so I'm putting my document now into this thing and it's connected to OpenAI. So, you know, is this client document now being like training OpenAI's LLM? Like, what are you doing there to ensure privacy and all those concerns?
Absolutely. Great question. And we work with almost all law firms. So we get this question on multiple times a day. But yes, so a few things. One is our partnership with OpenAI is such that nothing that we actually submit to OpenAI, even if it's our own data that we're submitting in, can be used by OpenAI to train other models. Second thing is we also don't share any of your customer data to train our model with for other customers. So all of that is in a silo. Your customer data never gets shared with anyone else. And the reason that we can do that is because we have this wealth of Gabble experts who have helped us fine tune this. And we have spent a lot of money and energy and effort into making sure it's really the best product that it can be.
Yeah. And then another, like, and I have to ask this out of like just the legal journalist that I play on in the podcast sphere is, so you're integrating with OpenAI. I've heard more and more about how there's a lot of these like GPT wrappers, which, you know, Gabble has been around far before just becoming like a GPT wrapper, but you are integrating with OpenAI. Are you able to plug and play with like Anthropic's model or some of these other models? Or is this like you're pretty dedicated to the partnership with OpenAI?
Great question. So we are constantly testing new AI models. That's something that our engineering team does in our staging environment, not in production where there are any clients, but in our staging environment and test environment, to see what is performing best and how we can make sure that we're always at the forefront of the technology. So definitely have been sort of testing around and seeing and making sure that we're using the right ones. The other thing I'll note here is that we are using AI in it's sort of a different way than some of these GPT wrappers that you mentioned that you see across the field. We are not actually generating your like new clauses for you. Like some, I think I've seen like get ads for all these different AI tools on all over the place. And I know there are a lot of them that are actually creating clauses and drafts from scratch for you, which to be honest, I think makes more sense in the context of like, you're trying to come up with some obscure clause that's not really your area of law and you need help drafting that. Gabble is meant for rules-based work that you are doing over and over again. So while we have the Gavel blueprint that helps you onboard and build your initial workflow, what you're building is something that you have spent, you know, potentially years refining as your templates, and you have a set number of variations. You know, it could be 10,000 variations that you can build logic into in Gavel, but it's you don't necessarily want something new generated every single time. You want to know that when you put a certain answer into Gavel, you're going to know what to expect, and you're going to get exactly that same answer every single time if you give that same set of. So that's right. What I think rules-based expert systems like Gavel are really, really useful for. And I would really encourage a lot of people who are looking at AI technology to make sure that this doesn't meet their need before jumping straight into AI tools.
Right. And it's, I think it's important to distinguish that, because a lot of attorneys now, especially, but just the general public, you know, they think open AI, they think gen AI, they think generative, and that something's being generated, right? But here what you're doing is you're leveraging the like comprehension of these LLMs that can generate things, but instead of generating text or, you know, you're generating the workflows that are in Gavel. So that, because that is like, for me anyway, as a true solo, like that was my largest friction point to better leveraging Gavel. And now that I could, that you're leveraging these tools, I could come in, and I just did it while you were giving that explanation, because I've had Gavel Blueprint up in a tab that I've been for months now, like meeting to get to that tab to do. And I'm like, well, I've got the CEO on the podcast. I might as well throw in an asset purchase agreement now. And in 60 seconds, you know, I've got all of these questions for workflow, right? Like one of 85 instances of who is the buyer, right? One of 123 instances of who is the seller, and all of these other factual based questions, right? So I'm excited to actually go through this post conversation, post interview. And it was so much easier than like the previous, you know, thing I had to do when I was setting up some previous automations. So just that was the goal, right? Lower the friction to setting up the automations.
Exactly. Because I think one of the benefits of Gavel is you can build anything, but that's also one of the things that takes a little bit of time, because you have to download all the, no matter how easy we make the platform, you have to download your expertise in your brain and in your work product into Gavel. And so Gavel Blueprint sort of takes that all and helps you get up to speed much more rapidly. But I love that you're doing this right behind the scenes as we're talking. And
yeah, I mean, like a 20-something page document, like in like 60 seconds, has all these suggested, you know, workflows, right? Another question I have for you about that, though, because one of the reasons why I'm actually using Claude a lot, in particular for the podcast, because I have these massive transcripts, is the context window. So do you run into any context window limitations with the OpenAI integration?
So we are doing some things on the back end to make sure that we sort of parse the documents and feed them into OpenAI, but that the user of Gavel doesn't run into any context window issues on their end. We had someone put in like a 400-page document the other day on a demo call. So it was, I think it was one of the first times we've gotten one that was like that big, but
yeah,
went through it and worked really well. So,
yeah, I mean, the only multiple 100-page documents that I have are franchise disclosure documents, but I'm representing the franchisee. So like, I'm not trying to automate like an FDD that I can't, you know, I'm not going to be able to reproduce for any client or something. But I guess if I was in-house at one of these, at a franchisor, maybe using Gavel to upload a 600-page franchise disclosure document maybe would make sense. Then you could just go in and change the franchisee, you know, in every instance. So maybe make it a little bit more personalized.
It's interesting that you say that, because franchise law is one of the big areas on Gavel, actually. I didn't really know it was such its own area of law before I went into building Gavel.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a course book. There's not like a legal textbook on it, really.
But someone should create a Gavel workflow and sell it to all the others.
All right, that's cutting room floor. You just gave me a business idea, Dorna. No, we'll keep it in.
You need to just have a list of business ideas on your website that come up in these types of conversations.
I have a list of business ideas for myself, that's for sure. Many pages in a Google Doc.
Oh, no, actually. Doc, I'm like, I have so many businesses that I want to create on Gavel that if I had more time, I would do.
Right, right. One day with Gen AI, you'll have multiple AI agents that you could just set to task, right? So tell me what else, like what has been the response from the users, especially the power users on Gavel, with like now having this blueprint feature?
Yeah, so response has been really great. I think the main thing is the speed at getting up and running. And I think it's especially useful for people who are new to Gabble, because some of our older customers, unfortunately, they already had built their workflows. And so they're not going to use Gabble Blueprint as much unless they have new things they're building. Whereas anyone who's signing up for the first time on Gabble is going to have, you know, we've estimated for certain document types that we've benchmarked against, it's 10x faster to build your Gabble workflows. So really just gets you up to ROI much more rapidly. The thing you're trying to do with Gabble is build these automated workflows that you can put in front of your client to either generate revenue or just scale up your practice and become more efficient. And the time for you from sign up to getting to that point, it really shrinks significantly.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned how franchise law was a surprising amount of lawyers using Gabble in franchise law. You do have this 2024 legal tech trends report for small and solo firms. So like, is that in there as well? Like what types of practice areas are leveraging the tool, or is that not actually talked about in that?
That's a good question. Maybe we'll have to do another report on that. So we do have this report that actually just launched. It is our 2024 legal trends report specifically for small and solo firms. And we highlight a few different trends that we've seen across the field. One of those is the business and the way that you price and the alternative business models. So I think that's very relevant to your users. It also becomes relevant to different practices and how they can leverage this, because obviously certain practices are going to be, you know, subscription services are going to be better for. Certain practices, flat fees are going to be better for. And so we highlight a little bit of that in this report as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, if it was me, like, you know, Dorna, you got to share this with all your Gabble users, because I'm about to give them a massive win on how to leverage subscription model if they're not doing it already. Like what I would do if I was not a true solo, though now I got to do this with Blueprint, is I would just make a subscriber benefit, like access to some of these things, right? Like that Yes. would be a massive win. And if you're not, you know, like if you're just doing flat fee, depending on how you're doing it and how you're leveraging that, that there could be an easy way to put in that separation. And I, you know, whether or not you could leverage Gabble from like a minimum viable client portal type thing, or you have to like, you know, do like a little bit, you can.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually, maybe talk a little bit about our bundles feature, but that functions very much in that way. And maybe I can share a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So we'll talk bundles next then for sure, because I'm thinking like, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. If you could have like a no hands-on subscription level for all the things that you've already automated, and they could go up to the next subscription level or pay a flat fee that they only get access to if they're a subscriber, is sort of a no-brainer of a use of the tool if they're already doing flat fees, regardless of what practice area you're in. I think there's lots of ways to leverage it. Timing matters. So, right, so like if you're family law or criminal law, like post-divorce decree, post, you know, once you're on probation, that could be where the maintenance plan subscription type thing comes in, right? Or like post-registering the trademark, you know, now you're in your monitoring maintenance phase, right? And like, here's your cease and desist letters that you go into Gabble and type in the information. As a subscriber, no lawyers on it, maybe that's a lower price, they could just get access to that. Versus if they want their lawyer to go over it with them or put human eyes on it, that's a higher level subscription or a higher price, right? So there's so many different opportunities to leverage subscription if they're already flat fee that maybe they just haven't thought about yet.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that kind of comes up for me as you're saying that is the possibility of having, there's two types of, when we talk about legal products, so these tools that you're taking, they were your services and you're turning them into these technology tools that you're putting in front of your clients. We usually see them priced in two kind of high level ways. One is a lead generating tool and one is a revenue generating tool. So I think some of what you said is you might have these free tools or very low cost tools that don't really bring in that much revenue. And the goal of them is to build affinity, build credibility with your customers, for their future clients, so that they come to you for later stages of the case. Or you could have these revenue generating products that right off the bat, that's the entire business model. Like you're going to generate revenue at scale and have a real legal company.
Right. And do both, you know.
Yeah. And do both. Right. Exactly.
Right. Start in the entry, you know, bring them in for cheap or free. And then, because it's always easier to upsell an existing client than it is to like get a new client. When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form and scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show. So then, okay, so you mentioned it. So tell us more about the bundles feature and how you could leverage bundles with Gavel to do this exact thing we're talking about.
Yes. So we just launched Bundles, which is essentially sort of like our e-commerce and client portal platform. We launched that at the end of last year. And what it does is it enables you to take your workflows in Gavel. And a workflow is a set of questions that generates a set of documents and might have lots of instructions in between. So think of something like, you know, I keep giving the analogy of TurboTax. Like think of something like TurboTax. So you might have these different workflows. And what you can do is you can bundle them together and either put them in a sequence. So people have to go through a certain sequence. You might want to do that in something like divorce, where they have to do the filing before they do the disclosure, like financial disclosures before the order. You can either bundle them in a sequence and put your paywall wherever you want, or you could provide them as a suite of products, which I think is also similar to something you were just mentioning, which is you might have, you know, let's say you're an employment lawyer and you have all these different transactional documents that you're providing to your clients or just to startups. You can provide those as a suite, charge them for the whole suite, and they can access them at their will, one by one, at whatever volume they. So yeah, bundles have been really powerful.
Could that be on an ongoing subscription or like a one-time fee access kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah, it can. You can choose to do either of those.
Great. I'm thinking I have a number of landlord clients, and that would be great for them to have, like, you know, 5-day notices in there, or demand letters, or even like amendments for a payment plan, where they could do it themselves. It'll cost less for them to do that. But then if they actually need the lawyer to get involved, then they could pay me, you know, whatever the subscription add-on fee would be to do that kind of a thing.
But and that's a great example, because we have people on the landlord and tenant side. I'll give you two examples, which off the top of my head, these two are both actually happen to be in Illinois. One is a landlord side one. It's called landlordlegalteam.com, I think. And they do exactly that for the landlord side for residential landlords in Illinois. The other is a tool called Rentervention, which is for the tenant side. And they have a bunch of different responses to your 3-day notice or your 5-day notice. So really, really great example that we've seen in the field too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like the thing about all that is you just hope that it leads to resolution and not just like more fighting, right? Because when exactly. Everybody, you know, it just levels the playing field, which I think is a good thing for everybody, because you're more likely to get to whatever this amorphous concept of justice is, right?
Yeah, you just have more assistance on both sides. I mean, I think especially when we think about the landlord-tenant arena, I think it's something like 90% of landlords have counsel and 90% of tenants don't have counsel. So if you are able to provide some sort of form of assistance, you're probably more likely to get to the just result. Whole concept of zealous advocacy that we talk about in law school.
Right, right. And look, I've represented tenants as well. And I think it helps me in my work representing landlords and tenants when I'm on the other side of it. But at the end of the day, just my landlords are more likely to subscribe to legal something or other.
That's
in
true.
My experience. Yeah.
Hopefully you're not being evicted over and over again.
Right. I mean, the reason a tenant would stay subscribed is because, like, I'm also helping them with, like, estate planning, or maybe they're going to buy a place, but they have a dispute with their current landlord. You know, like, that would be a reason. That's typically why that's happened. Or they're getting married and they need a prenup or something like that. Right. Like, and they also have this issue with their landlord. That's usually when I'm in there. So, you know, you're talking about paywalls and an e-commerce platform. So, like, payments, like, how does that work? Like, I'm getting payments through Gavel from my client. Is it through Gavel directly? Do you have integration partners? How does that all work?
Yes, exactly. So you connect, we work with Stripe. So the payments are all going through Stripe. So very secure, PCI compliant, but you set that all up in Gavel. So it makes it really easy. So you don't have to go into multiple different platforms and just kind of click of a button, put the payment exactly where you want it to go inside of your workflow or within your bundle, and you're up and running and off to the races. You can also create these like embeddable cards for your workflows, for your bundle, where you give it a description and you have the pricing, and then you can actually take that card and embed it on your website. So if you want sort of like a buy now button or a suite of different cards essentially on your website that people can choose from, you could also do it that way. So we have lots of options to really customize the way that you provide this to your customers and white label.
It's very interesting. That's super interesting. I kind of want to ask some questions about that. But before we even get there, if I already have a Stripe account, which I do, I'm assuming it's even easier to set up that integration.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's just sort of an easy connection between the two platforms, between Stripe and Gavel.
Right. Right. Because longtime listeners know I use Stripe, and so they may be using it too. And so it's one of those things because I've definitely done that before, where I've like connected my Stripe account with other platforms that integrate with Stripe. And it's more of like just confirm your information and sign in, versus if you don't have a Stripe account, you just have to, put in your EIN, put in this stuff, but it's all like right from like a pop-up or like another tab that closes once you're done. It's a super simple process.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives you a lot of analytics as well on your metrics and what's going on with the payments so that you can optimize them.
Right. Right. With the whole white label thing though, like that's really interesting. And I almost wonder if there's opportunity to just have like somebody come in on Gavel and you could let them rebrand using like a custom domain with like out even leaving the platform. Is that on the product roadmap? Have you all ever thought about something like that?
You mean actually creating new web links for people or like domains?
So for example, like you talked about these cards that you could embed on your website, right? Like I almost wonder if there's a play there. Like for example, because I moved the podcast over to Substack recently, and you could get a free domain on Substack, which is like whatever thing.substack.com, or for a one-time $50 fee, you can connect a custom domain, but it's all just the back end of Substack. So instead of having to embed things from Substack into my website on another website platform, I'm just on Substack kind of a thing. So if you're already in Gavel, I wonder if there's a thing there where it's just like, now when I sign in to edit my website, it's also just the Gavel platform kind of a thing.
Yes, that is exactly what we have as well, actually. So when you sign up for Gavel, to start with, you get a Gavel domain. So it might be like lawsubscribe.gavel.io. But then you're able to add it to your custom domain. So you could be like lawsubscribedocuments.lawsubscribe.com or portal.lawsubscribe.com. So then whenever you go in there, it feels like it's your website, but really it's Gavel on the back end who's handling and managing and hosting all of that.
Okay, so it is like a true white label like type situation in that.
Exactly. So we actually have a lot of legal tech companies, some which were open about using Gavel, some who are not as open about using Gavel, but you wouldn't know it because they completely white labeled the domain, they white labeled their workflows, have their own styling, they removed the logo. So really our goal and my goal was, when I built that domestic violence platform to begin with, I wanted to allow others to build the same exact thing, except without having to hire an engineer. And so that's exactly what we do here, is Gavel really is your software developer in your back pocket. And we want to enable you to have that full suite of capability and customization.
Okay. Okay. Now let's say I wanted to use Gavel, but I'm already like locked in with like a Confido Legal or a LawPay or something like that. Could I like, even though it's more administrative work, and like if you're using Gavel, automate everything, right? But like, if I like sign them up through my existing workflow with like Clio or my case or whatever, right? I can then still like let them into the Gavel platform, what would normally be a paywall, but I could manually go in and like let them in, even though it would be a paywall. Could I do that?
Yes, exactly. You could still work with other platforms if you wanted to as well. So it's not exclusive to using our payment portal. But I think there are a lot of reasons we make it a lot easier and why you might want to use it, but we definitely work really seamlessly with other tools. We also have an open API. So across the board, whether it's payment or whether it's just capturing data in, pushing data out, getting generated documents out into other platforms. That's all really, really easy with Gavel. We have some that are direct, some through direct integrations. And we also have, you know, we have Zapier integration. And we also have our open API that we can help you with to make sure that you can get all your systems connected into one.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good to know. So, I mean, I knew time was going to fly. Let's see. We sort of skipped over the trends report. Is there anything else in there that you maybe want to highlight? And obviously link in the show notes so everybody could go download it. But like maybe something that was surprising to you in the trends report.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, one of the big factors that I noticed, which really makes this topic so urgent, is that a consumer of legal services, whether they be individual consumers or business consumers, are kind of flocking in hordes to small and solo firms. And they're doing that because of efficiency, because of affordability, because of transparency, you know, responsiveness, a lot of different factors. And so I think it's really sort of the golden age of some of the smaller firms, and adopting new technology is a way to be at the forefront of that and take advantage of some of that influx of demand. The other thing that we have in the Legal Trends Report, which I love, is we have a bunch of interactive worksheets. So we give you data on, you know, these are the trends and this is what's going on in the field. But we also give you worksheets on how can you now plan for your law firm to take the next step and make changes that help you be future ready. So those are my favorite part. You can kind of fill things out and get answers on what you should do next.
Got it. Okay. Link, like I said, in the show notes, whether it's the worksheets or you want to read the whole report. There you go. Moving on. I know last time you were on the show, you know, I record these in advance. I mean, I think people know we record these in advance. Like you were about to maybe like launch a marketplace or something. And then it ended up, it did launch. And I know AI has sort of taken over everything. But it looks like, I mean, it's still there. And so I'd like to know, like, just like a quick update on, you know, what's happening there, because there was really nothing to report other than it was a thing that was coming the last time you were on the show. So like, what could people expect if they check it out?
Absolutely. So yes, we have a marketplace that has several examples of different tools that have been built on Gavel on the marketplace. And the goal of that really is for us to eventually start driving traffic to our customers so that they can find customers who are coming to them and consolidating all those people in one place. I do invite anyone who wants to be on that marketplace, whether your legal product is built on Gavel or whether it's not, to reach out to me and let me know if you want to be put on that marketplace, because that's something that we're going to be focusing on more and would love to really just make it a valuable resource for end users. So please feel free to reach out if you're interested.
And this is like, it could be another opportunity for attorneys to monetize, you know, whatever they're building on Gavel. In particular, what comes to mind for me is, you know, I'm only licensed in Illinois, but if I'm building legal products that can be used by anybody, you know, that could be a place where maybe they could go and they're in a different jurisdiction and, you know, we'd have to write all the disclaimers and stuff. But if it's like a demand letter or something that's like not very jurisdiction specific, you know, it could be a huge help for people who maybe need more affordable legal services and they don't want to go pay a lawyer hundreds of dollars an hour to draft something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, tools like JustTech and Hello Divorce too, that are built on Gavel, are examples of that, where they've started in one state, they were attorneys and one jurisdiction, and they've kind of expanded across the board to other industries, as other jurisdictions as well. So really, really does help you. I think it comes back to that question of scale. Like, yes, you may be moving away from the billable hour, but this actually does not mean decreased revenue or decreased profitability. This means exponential opportunity for you to really sit back, build a really awesome quality product that you are upkeeping, but allow it to actually generate more revenue for you at scale.
Yeah. And then another thing I wanted to congratulate you on while you're here is at least one award that I know about. So it's it's called the American Legal Technology Awards, right? Didn't Gavel win for one of those, right? Tell us about that award.
Yes. So we won the American Legal Technology Awards in the category of best technology, which I think was really fitting for us, because we really are, as Gavel, we are the infrastructure that underlays a lot of the firms and a lot of the legal products that are built on Gavel. So we were really excited about that. We went to the award ceremony in Nashville and got to actually see a lot of our customers sitting in the audience and some of them winning other awards for the products they built on Gavel too. So that was a really exciting moment for us and feels like we've come very far since our early days.
Yeah. And then
I think we also got another award we got was we were a finalist in the best integration. I forget what they called it. It was one of the best integrations for Clio.
Okay. Okay. So, and that would have been at ClioCon or whatever it's called.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
I know it's called something else. It's like the Clio Cloud Conference.
I know. I'm not sure what it's called now. Clio Cloud, right. Maybe or something.
Yeah. But it's ClioCon. I mean, it's just easy. It rolls off the tongue.
Exactly.
There you go. So if you're a Clio user, I mean, Gavel integrates. There you go. Well, congratulations on the awards. I know you personally, although I mean, it's all related to Gavel, but you've been doing some new content now lately. You want to share with my audience a little bit about that? And we'll link to one of them in the show notes.
Yes, definitely. So this kind of was spurred by the fact that a lot of our customers come to us and ask us not just about how to use Gavel, but also about strategy within their firm, technology. What are certain technology terms? I mean, I literally had someone who emailed us, and this I think hopefully is a testament to how easy Gavel is to use. But they asked in their support email, what is a URL? So we were like, okay, maybe we should start explaining some of these tech concepts to our customers. So I decided to create a few different social channels. It's actually on every social channel that you can think of, or the big ones that I know of. And it's Dorna_@_Gavel. And what I do is I try to put up like 1 to 2 minute videos on really basic tech concepts. So for example, I talked about the hierarchy of generative AI and what the terminology is there. So some of our customers can use that in a way that makes them feel informed. I talked about cookies yesterday and how that relates to your practice. I'm going to be talking also about the practice of law, some of the alternative business models that you can have in your firm. So really any topics that people are asking us a lot about, I'm doing short videos on. And so it's really bite-sized. You can wake up, scroll, doom scroll, and get informed and educated about how lawyers are using technology.
Great. Fantastic. You know, there's a lot of lawyers out there that can use it. The listeners to this podcast, I don't know, like they're already pretty tech savvy, but you never know. But there's a huge market for that. So I think good on you. Anything else you want to tease with the last few minutes that we have? Anything in the pipeline on the horizon for Gavel that we could all look forward to?
Yeah. So what the last thing, well, one thing I'll say is we are developing features like crazy. We have an amazing team and we're always growing. So we have lots of new features in the works for 2024. One of the big ones that is about to come out is our new PDF tagger. So what that enables you to do is just like you could with Word documents inside of Gavel in a very easy way, you can also load PDF documents and visually see them as you tag them. So it just really makes automating PDF documents and monetizing those eventually much, much easier inside of the Gavel platform. So that's one that's really exciting. And then we have a lot of new AI features coming in on the onboarding side on Blueprint as well. So
all right.
So we share those with everyone. And we also actually, one more thing I'll mention is before, when we last talked, you needed to put in a credit card to sign up for Gavel. We've now removed that. You can sign up for Gavel without entering your credit card. So there's no reason not to try it for at least our free trial. So I invite everyone to go do that. We also do free strategy calls with anyone who wants to talk about building their legal tech products. So,
well, you brought up signing up, so I'm gonna go off that. They've already heard the mid roll of the ads. But after that 7-day free trial ends, and you want to subscribe for an annual subscription, save 10%. Use the code LawSubscribed.
Exactly.
And so with that, any final words before I ask you a question only a few of my guests have actually been asked before?
Ooh, I'm excited for the question.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you gave us a lot of stuff, so we'll just move on to it. So only my second time guests have actually gotten this question because you've already answered as a hot dog a sandwich. So now, Dorna, is a calzone a sandwich and why?
Honestly, we haven't had a calzone for so long. I feel like I was similarly embarrassed on your last podcast when you asked me the question about sandwiches. The calzone is like a pizza that's flipped on, like closed up, right?
Right.
It's a good question. I would say no, because there's no right answer, right? I would say no, because I think of a sandwich as being a bread that you then put stuff in and then close it up. Whereas a calzone sort of feels like the stuff was already stuck, right? And then you close it up. I don't know.
I don't know. That's why it makes a good question.
For I need to do some analytics on this, on how people actually answer these questions, so I can see if I was right or wrong.
it's a personal answer. You know, it's a personal answer. But the hot dog question turned out there's a legal answer to the question, because in certain jurisdictions, you know, like tax and other things about like what is and isn't taxable in certain ways, or, you know, there are, you know, hot dog vendors, you know, on the streets versus hot dog, you know, so you'd be surprised. There are actual legal answers to the question, which I never knew coming into it.
I actually remember that we had a case in law school where we talked about, and I forget what the result was, but bagel chips, are they bread or are they chips? Because that put them in a different part of the supermarket. And I think maybe they were taxed differently too. So seems like food categories are a big legal topic.
Interesting. Banana chips, are they fruit or are they chips?
Like it. Gotta get some answers. You need to do a blog post on this.
Yeah, you know, it's all, you just ask a toddler who could speak with what they are, and they'll tell you without any of the extra BS that we have accumulated over the years.
That's true.
If people wanted to get in touch or sign up for Gavel, what's the best way for them to do those things?
Yes. So sign up for Gavel at www.gavel.io and use the law subscribe code for 10% off. And then you can follow Gavel or myself on any of our social channels. We're gavel.io, and my socials are Dorna_Gavel. So we'd love to see you all there.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's our show. Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for being sponsors. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with somebody you think would find value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kurbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kurbis with Law Subscribed.